This is Jonathan Hansen. I'm the president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagles Saving Nations. My website, worldministries.org. Worldministries.org. Check it out. Last week I spoke on total peace, the key to happiness, joy, and peace, the key to no worries and a long life. You know, so important. We're in a day, an age, when stress can abound endlessly. There are concerns all over the place. Besides a person's own concerns and emotions, dealing with their family and relationships. But our nation is in turmoil. We have treason just about everywhere you look. Corruption is everywhere you look. We are in a desperate time, and the Bible warns about the times we're living in different books, including the book of Revelation. I want to speak today about the way for unity and peace. The way for unity and peace. I'm going to use Romans 15, 1 through 7 as my text. New King James Version Bible I'll be using. It says, "We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves, lest each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Note, verses 1 through 3 is telling us that strong and enlightened ones, if you consider yourself strong, mature, must tolerate and bear the weaker and less enlightened brethren until they too become strong in faith and knowledge. Okay, we must tolerate and bear. I hate it when criticism. You don't need to criticize even to your spouse about somebody. That's not edification, not even to the person hearing it. And God is Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He doesn't like it when you criticize somebody who he said you need to be patient with. We all know that our tongue is controlled by the Holy Ghost, and frankly, some people's tongue is not controlled very well. Now, you can have devotions every day, and that doesn't mean your tongue is controlled by the Holy Spirit just because you read the Word of God. You have to actively engage and guard against these things that bring sin to yourself and hurt one another. Are we together?
Yep.
Because I do not like backbiting, murmuring, gossiping, complaining, sitting around the dinner table and roasting somebody. It's called gossip. Is where Christ is telling his people that he is taking himself, people's reproach. Meaning, where others express disappointment or displeasure in another person's behavior. Christ is saying he's taken it on himself. Talk to God. But quit rejecting other people and talking about other people. In other words, do not condemn or look down or reject others for their immaturity or sins. Now, that's what this is saying. You want God's blessing? Why are not our prayers answered? Because sometimes we're engaged in all of this sin and we don't even know it's called sin. God's not happy with it. Do not condemn or look down or reject others for their immaturity or their sins. But he himself took the reproach of others onto himself so we don't reject or condemn them. Now, if we could do this, we'd have unity. Amen? Wouldn't we have unity? There'd be no problem in families. Have no problem in churches. Be no schisms. No rejections. Psalm 69, 9 through 25. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. That became my reproach. I also made sackcloth with my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. Note, Psalm 69:9 is saying, all desires are absorbed by the person desiring to promote God's glory of his temple. John 2:17, then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Romans 15:3, for even Christ did not please himself, but it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Now note, verses 10 through 12 of Psalm 69 have a double fulfillment and meaning in both David, King David, and Jesus Christ. But perhaps it refers in some of these verses more to one than the other. David, in his fasting due to overwhelming troubles, which almost swallowed him, and he became the song of drunkards. Well, Jesus also fasted quite a bit on this earth because he was the song of drunkards. They teased him, oh, you're a Methuselah. The song of drunkards have a tenfold meaning. One, forsaken by friends, verse 7. Two, forsaken by brethren, verse 8. Three, scorned by enemies, verse 9 and 18. Four, insulted by inferiors, verse 9 and 10. Five, chastened by fasting, verse 10. Six, scoffed by libertines, verse 11 through a person who is morally or sexually unrestrained, freethinker, or desolate man is a libertine. Reproached by the song of drunkards, verse 12. Hated by our own countrymen, verse 14. Swallowed up by troubles, verses 14 through 15. And heartbroken by heaviness, verse 20. Again, I just read Psalm 69, 9 through 25. So that's what we just covered. Verse 13 says, but as for me, my prayer is to you. O Lord, in the acceptable time, O Lord, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Okay, we're looking at Psalm 69, 13 through 15. David is crying out to God, calling upon his mercies that the Bible says are new every morning. New every morning. God's mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
Don't you love mercy?
Absolutely.
Come on, does everyone love mercy?
Amen.
Then give it to others. You want God's mercy to be new every morning, but you have conditions on mercy sometimes for people. Men's mercy might have limits, but not God's. God's doesn't have a limit. Yes, people do. That's why David said, I don't want to fall into man's hands. Let God judge me. Now, anybody who knows God, you're much wiser to let God judge you because he gives you mercy. Somebody else might not. Oh, I've forgiven you enough. Well, do you know what your scripture, 70 times 7, means endless? The Song of Drunkards, before we get off that subject. Forsaken by friends, brethren, enemies, inferiors, scoffed by immoral people, hated by countrymen, swallowed by troubles, heartbroken by heaviness. But yet, Jesus said he took our reproach. Why are you still putting reproach on other people? These people are bringing reproach on David. To the point, he has to fast. He is about ready to be swallowed up. He's about ready to give up. By people. Instead of praying for him, encouraging him, are rejecting him, and some are plotting against him now. You don't have to show your hands, but do you fall in that category once in a while? A lot of church people do. I guarantee you they do. Self-righteous people. But they want God's mercy. Hard to give it, though. That's why we all want God's mercy, because they're new every morning. They never run out. God's mercy doesn't run out. God's mercy for our weaknesses never run out. That's why Lena, that's why the man from Bogota could call out to God. Others were ready totally to wipe their hands of them. The guy from Bogota, they all rejected me, mother and father. Even my girlfriend to be my, who now became his wife. She was going to walk out on me. But God's mercy never ends. And he called for God's mercy. Because some of the others, even his parents, left him. Sometimes we're not passing on that same mercy to others in their times of trouble. No, we want mercy. But we can't pass it on sometimes. And we give our righteous excuses for it. David is not only calling upon God to extend him mercy from his enemies, but also for himself in his own emotional instability and depression. David has depression because of all his problems are overcoming him. David wants mercy. God, give me mercy. I can't take it. Elijah. I don't know if he used those exact words, but he got in a pity party, went into depression. Hey, there's none out there. God says there's 7,000 others. Come on, Elijah, get up. Get off your pity party and rise up and fight again. David is calling on mercy for his own emotional instability and his own depression. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. We all seem to want God to answer us just as fast as we go down to McDonald's, if you go there. We want instant results. You know, this is where schisms come. You expect too much from others. Can you give patience and love, tolerance? Maybe you are wrong. Maybe you don't understand everything you think you do. Maybe you're hearing it wrong. Maybe you were raised differently and they don't think the way you think. Can we give mercy? Can we have patience? Can we love one another? Do we fall into this trap that God calls sin? Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Note, Psalm 69, 16 through 18, which I just read, David is calling again on God's loving kindness to deliver him from his troubles. The Hebrew word translates loving kindness as grace. Jesus, give me grace in marriage. All over the world. Let me tell you, every marriage couple, everyone alive wants grace from their partner. Because if you don't give grace, sooner or later, it's all over. It's all over. You got to give some grace. In fact, you should give it constantly and you'd never have a problem. Right. Your lips would be so engaged in activity that they'd be strong and healthy. Because if you give grace, you wouldn't have a problem. You'd be doing a lot of kissing. And every marriage couple should say amen.
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 34 years of kissing.
Kissing, kissing, kissing. With grace comes a lot of kissing. If you don't give grace, comes a lot of heartache and weeping. But with grace, there's kissing and loving. Isn't it good? Song of Solomon, in action. Again, the Hebrew word translates loving kindness as grace and as tender mercies. It signifies the same tender affection that mothers show their children. You know, mothers show their children usually tender mercies and grace and loving kindness, right? I know Adalia sure does. She shows a lot of loving kindness to MJ. Sometimes I say, pass that kindness on to me.
A lot of kissing.
A lot of kissing. That's what makes a marriage wonderful. We need to show the same loving kindness, everybody, to our spouses. Now we need to show the same loving kindness, the grace, to other people. Not a lot of kissing, but grace and loving kindness. Amen? People want to be loved. You know, the kissing belongs to spouses and that kind of relatives. But people want loving kindness. They want grace, don't they?
Yeah.
Sure they do. Nobody in here wants somebody to be mean to them. Or if you do, you need a counseling session. Because nobody wants that. We're not made that way. We're made to be loved. 19 says, you know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. I've looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. David says, nobody has pity on me. Nobody has grace to me. There's no loving kindness. My own son rebelled against me, Absalom. And for the comforters, I found none. What an indictment. They also gave me gall for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink, referring to the Messiah. Like I said, some of these are dual. David, the Messiah. Reproach has broken my heart. Jesus took our reproach. It broke his heart. I think part of what broke his heart is how we put criticism and shame on other people and rejection. He took the reproach so we should not be passing it on. But Christians do. Again, Psalm 69, 19 through 21, these verses are interchangeable with David and the Messiah. 19, God knew both David and Jesus' shame and reproach. Tenfold suffering of the Messiah, 1, verse 19, reproach, 2, shame, verse 19. Another one in verse 19, 3, dishonor. 4, adversaries, verse 19. 5, brokenheartedness, verse 20. 6, full of heaviness, verse 20. 7, no one to pity, verse 20. 8, no one to comfort, verse 20. 9, gall for the meat, verse 21. And 10, vinegar for drink, verse 21. Referring to the Messiah. He was reproached, he was shamed, he was dishonored. People had rejected him. Even Peter lied and ran and hid and lied until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. So let's look closer at Psalm 69, 22 through 25. Let their table become a snare for them, and let their well-being a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so they do not see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your wrathful anger take hold on them. Let their dwelling place be desolate. Let no one live in their tents, for they persecuted the ones you have struck. And talk of the grief of those you have wounded, and iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come up your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Are you catching that? God takes people's names out of the book of life if you continue to sin. And not be written with the righteous. Verse 22 was fulfilled upon Judas and the crucifiers of Jesus Christ. If they did not repent while the spirit was in the body, they suffered eternal damnation. The 12-fold curse on Judas and the priests in verse 22 through 28, 1, their table shall become a snare. 2, their benefits shall be a trap. 3, their eyes shall be darkened. 4, they shall be made blind. 5, their loins shall shake continually. 6, wrath shall be poured upon them. 7, their habitation shall be desolate. 8, their tents will remain empty. 9, their iniquity will be added to iniquity. 10, shall not know righteousness. 11, their name shall be blotted out of the book of life. Judas' name was once in the book of life. Because of sin, his name was removed. Their name shall not be written with the righteous. I don't know this, once saved, always. I don't know where it comes from.
Once saved, always saved.
You're always saved if you stay under the blood. But just like in Egypt, if you want to go outside of the blood, you'd be struck with a death angel too. Exodus 32, 32 through 33. Look at the heart of Moses. You know if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. This is how we should be. Moses, God was even saying, hey, look how they treated you. You want me to wipe them out? Nobody's been treated as bad as Moses was. So you have no excuse to reject family or friends in here. I don't care what they've done. They rebelled against Moses. He said, forgive them. If not, blot my name out of your book, which you have written. Now, God did not wipe out the nation. He wiped out thousands that continue to rebel and try to take over the leadership. Grace runs its course. Judgment does come. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. That's verse 33. Revelation 3, 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out from my book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. He who overcomes, that means we need to not reproach other people with indignation and shame and rejection. We need to forgive them. If we can, we won't have schisms. You'll have unity in your family, in the church, in the nation. You'll have unity, you'll have peace. Where does unpeace come from? Well, these things that cause you to separate from people, all those emotions, just forgive. I talked to Alina, even text her today, and she was so heavy on forgiving. If you watch that interview, you must forgive. And she had more justification than most people do. She even led her grandfather that sexually molested her to Jesus. Revelation 22, 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life from the holy city and from the things written in. People that add or subtract from the word of God, did you hear what it said? He'll remove your book, your name from the book of life. And people call themselves pastor are twisting it every day and changing it. He says he'll take your name out of the book of life. Now, if you fear God, if you don't care about this, you don't fear God a bit. And that's the problem. Acts 1:25, to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. He was once in the book of life. Romans 15, 4 through 7. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Patience and comfort, we have hope and peace. Now may the God of patience and comfort, the God of patience and comfort, grant like-minded people toward one another, according to Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God the Father. That you receive, verse 7, one another as Christ received you. Receive one another with patience and comfort and love. It's only by accepting and agreeing with what is written that men have like-mindedness and peace, unity. If saints would learn to leave off doubtful disputations and become unified to the point of not judging each other regarding things not written, there would be perfect unity in doctrine. Christians are to receive others in spite of their faults and scruples, morality, as Christ received them. This is the only way for unity and total peace. Be as Christ, who forgave and loved each other, aggressively resist all temptation to bring up the past of others, but live in the present and have unity and peace. Don't bring up the past of others. Leave it under the blood. Let God judge. Don't be a little God. You'll have unity and peace. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International. Warning Radio is a listener-supported program. We need your donations in order to continue airing these Christ-centered prophetic programs. Send your checks or money orders to World Ministries International, Post Office Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. To donate securely by phone, call 360-629-5248. Visit our website to find other ways of giving and a wealth of information about World Ministries International and host Dr. Jonathan Hansen. The website is worldministries.org. There, you'll also have access to hundreds of previously aired radio programs, made for television videos, thousands of articles, Dr. Hansen's books, and travel itinerary. Again, the website is worldministries.org. The phone number is 360-629-5248. Tune in at this same time, Monday through Friday, on this radio station for the next exciting edition of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen. Remember, the Lord is not slow about the promise of His return, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for everyone to come to the repentance that leads to eternal life.